Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great big vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman, and today is Friday, June 1st, 2018. I must apologize a little bit for last week's situation. It has turned out that along the way here, we were not able to get back on the air while we were at Baycon due to some staffing changes and the like that were involved in that whole event. So I must apologize for that and just say that, well, you know, what we were doing here and what we were doing there is exactly why we are having this discussion today about collaborating on activities and the like. And so what I want to just say is that, you know, as we do these kinds of things, as we participate in events, you know, the collaborating makes things a little bit easier, especially when they are planned correctly. So, why do we say that? So, let's back up a little bit before we really get into the topic. So, first of all, you know, Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you on Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. And what we do is we discuss living your purpose, whatever that might mean, and subjects that are related to it. And, you know, sometimes we take on some things in living our purpose that really are not meant for us to take on alone. We do need other people to participate in them and be a part of them. Because without others, sometimes we end up missing communication, falling apart on some things, you know, things like that. And this way, with the collaboration, you can avoid some of those gaps. Now, the way you can participate in this show is actually pretty simple. We do have a chat room that is open for you, and that is at the very bottom of the show page if you are on Blog Talk Radio and if you have an account. And you can put your comments, questions, feedback in there for us. You can call into the show at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. You can put your comments on the Purpose Talk Radio if you really need to. But the other thing is, you know, what happens with Purpose Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio is that you have the comment section in the on the show page, but when that ends, that disappears. And so we do ask that if you'd like to continue the conversation or you are picking up the archive of the show, please come over to the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and join us in the conversation there. Um, And the archive link, is that the same one as the original? So that makes it pretty easy to share the show. Now, Purpose Talk Radio also is brought to you by True Visions Travel, a full-service travel agency that allows you to, you know, if you need some specialized accommodations, we have those. We try to make sure that all of sites and things are accessible to people involved in the show or in the trip. If somebody needs something, you know, all those kinds of wonderful things. Oh, I'm finding out that the link on the Purpose Talk Radio show page is taking people to a former show. That's interesting. So I wonder if I am actually, let's see here. I have to double check on what's going on here. And why the link is incorrect, if that's the case. So let's see here. Okay, Facebook is having a good time, I see, and not doing what I had asked it to do. But we'll get that straightened out. We'll get that straightened out in a moment here. So let's go back to this. Like I said, you can call in. You can be a part of the discussion. You can come to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Whatever, on the end of this. I see what may have happened is that I did not refresh a page, and therefore that's why it didn't link correctly. So I apologize to those who were in there. I just realized that I had not saved the corrected show discussion on Facebook. You know, here's the perfect example of collaborating right here. I have, at least one person that's on my show regularly that listens live, and I am very, very appreciative of that because I get to know when sound is messing up. I get to know when links such as this are incorrect. I get to know when I haven't pressed go and save or whatever to have something work correctly. And I am so grateful that I am not always a solo act here when it comes to Purpose Talk Radio or, for that matter, anything else. And so that's what helps make it a little bit easier because doing this myself on some Fridays, you'd be hearing all kinds of strange things. You'd be off listening to the show from a couple of weeks ago instead of what we need. So last week, the kind of collaboration was being at BayCon, which those of you that tried to listen to it, like I said, we, due to some staffing changes and time element and for me, the change of time zone in and of itself caused a little bit of havoc for me. You know, I broadcast 2 p.m. Central Time. I knew the show had to be noon Pacific Time. But somehow when we sat down to lunch, did not even click, just kept thinking 2 p.m., because that's what I do every week when we broadcast, is that's the time that I know. And we started actually talking about the show over lunch, and next thing I knew, I realized that I was supposed to be on the air. So we jumped on and gave you a little bit of a preview as to what BayCon was all about. And that's where I think some of this is coming from this week. In fact, I know it is. As I attended that with Joy Siren, for the Academy of Omniosophical Arts and Sciences. And, well, she got to be on talking about the wonderful books and world and community that's been created out of collaborating in that project itself, because she has allowed some of us that don't write to participate in the Elements of Verse, which we've talked about, coming up with characters that will be in future books and all that. You know, I got to sit at the table and talk to some people and learn about a whole new world that I've never been involved in, of science fiction and fantasy writing, and the conventions that go along with that. I've had friends that have been part of it, and they've talked about it for years and years and years and thought, oh yeah, sure, someday I'll go, and never went to them. And somehow that piece of all of it, seeing, you know, I've been involved in conventions before. That's nothing new. I've been to them for like the Business of Professional Women. I've been to them when I was doing Tupperware and Excel, Cations, and whatever other network marketing events I've been in. Somehow this world was a little bit different. It seemed like there were more volunteers involved to get it to work. And because it had been running for 37 years, a lot of the people there knew what to expect and how things should happen and all of that that was involved in that. It was kind of, on some levels, it was very humorous to those of us that were new, because it was all like this teamwork that just flowed and everybody knew where they were supposed to be, when they were supposed to be, and all of that. And I'm sure because they have been a part of this community for so long, it was very easy for them all to fall into line, so to speak, and do, I don't know, what do I want to say, do their part, and be where they were supposed to be, and directing who they were supposed to direct. And it was kind of cool to watch. And yet I know there were many, many people that were behind the scenes that we never saw that made these things happen. And I'm realizing, too, that I'm getting probably some vibration in the phone here, as I reminded that I need, that I finally learned that I have a phone that I can put on a do not disturb during these shows. So when I do that from my phone, I'm going to take care of that right now as well. If I could figure out where it is again. Anyway, so the many pieces are involved. You know, like I said, sometimes you see the people, sometimes you don't. And sometimes it's just how that works. So thank you. I'm picking up someone, a caller, so I don't think here. Hello, Joy.
Hello.
You are on the air live.
Oh, I'm glad you told me. I was in another room.
Ah, okay. Well, were you looking to join the conversation today? I hope.
And the reason I called is my computer, it just kept spinning on the Blog Talk Radio thing. So I'm so grateful that you have more than one way to get into the show, depending on people's needs at the moment.
Yes. Joy's of the project that collaborates even with various technology. So you know, are you available to join the discussion at this point?
I am available, as well as my assistant, Molly, who you have now met. We are both available.
Ah, yes. Okay. Okay. And I'm sure she will have her 2 cents worth to join us. Yes. So, you know, what I was talking about is a little bit here in the background. I don't know how much you heard being in the, walked in the other room. You know, we experienced a lot of stuff that, like, the clockwork of that conference, the convention, was just like, they all knew what they were supposed to do and where they were supposed to be. And, you know, people just, like, appeared and disappeared. And, you know, it seemed like it was so many years and so many people knew what they were doing. We didn't really see people that were, you know, like, in charge, directing, and that kind of thing, which we see at some conferences. You know, a lot of the business ones always seems to have somebody directing traffic, so to speak, and telling people where they're supposed to be standing and where they're supposed to be going and all that. And I think the cool part this last week or last weekend was that I didn't see that. People just appeared and just did what they were assigned to do for the most part. At least that was what I experienced.
And I love the fact that you and I had a very different experience. I found it very easy to get to where I was supposed to go. However, I constantly saw people asking in a variety of places, where do I go? What do I do? And were it not for having staff stationed in specific places, you know, directing, I think they would have been lost. There was an information desk and that I saw in constant use, people saying, I don't know where to go. And then, and that was mostly the guests. Or I should say attendees, you know, the visitors. Not the people that were on the panels. And then I always saw people in the little command center, which they called con ops. That's the kind of thing I've run before. I saw people in there constantly with questions. And questions is the nice way of putting it. Lots of times at a business events, the only time someone will stop to get involved with that kind of group like the command center is because they have a problem. So the con ops people were just, you know, saints with the stuff that they had to deal with. So I heard a lot of feedback from people that they were not thrilled with the setup because they felt it was all over the place instead of centralized. And I told those who said that to me, well, I've never been to another one of these fan cons, so I can't compare, but I'm finding it very easy to get around, very simple to navigate. And I like that it wasn't just in one spot. It wasn't like I had to walk 10 minutes to get to another place. It was just a few steps, but I really enjoyed the layout. So I think, you know, it's all subjective, I guess would be the word.
Right. And I think some of the things we were talking about too was some of it that was like later in the day, like the room parties and things like that. You know, you got used to like one direction of travel during the day for the workshops. And then even though it was on the same floor, it was like at the other end of the world. If you had to go up a different elevator to end up on the same floor, and if you really walked around, you'd end up in the same place, but it didn't seem like it. So,
you know, to be specific with that, there was another way to get there that you went up either a ramp or a half level up. I know that sounds weird, but
right.
were in some of the rooms where the panels were, you would just walk down one hall and down another. And so it separated it from the panels rooms because those are business rooms that are separated from the guest rooms, which are some of the rooms that the parties were held in. But I just really liked the way it was set up, but I haven't been going for a million years. So and nothing to compare it to. Also, I should admit or confess to the fact that I accosted the hotel staff constantly. based on where we stayed, we had to go past the hotel desk to get to anything based on where our specific room was. And the hotel staff was so nice that I always went in to say hi to them and see if I could get anything for them. And then while I was there, I'd say, by the way, where's the blah, blah, blah. So, for example, I was supposed to teach a class in another part of the hotel outside, and I had no idea where it was. So I just left a few minutes early and decided I'll just ask them on the way. And so So I did. I said, you know, and they weren't crowded. I just said, good morning. By the way, where's the blah, blah? And they told me exactly, and it took a whopping 10 seconds to get there. So I probably harassed the hotel front desk staff more than a lot of people did because I constantly needed to walk past them to go anywhere.
Okay.
And as far as collaboration goes, it was adorable that they knew the theme of the convention that was coming in, not the specific theme, but the basic idea. And because it was fantasy based, they all wore Star Wars t-shirts to support the convention. I thought that was really collaborative of on the hotel's part. And another thing, this is going to sound so minor, but it meant a lot to me. There was not one area I went to the whole weekend, and this was a long weekend, Thursday through Monday, that did not have a 100% filled with ice and water, water dispenser. And they never got low. I mean, they were always within an inch of the top, no matter how many people had gotten water. Those things never went below, you know, a few inches down. And you could just tell the hotel was just on it. The ice was fresh. The water was cold. It had recently been done, and I never saw the workers do it. But everywhere I went always had fresh ice-cold water. And I thought somebody is really taking good care of this convention to have that be the case.
And I agree. And I think that's, again, some of that's in planning and just knowing what, you know, the needs of various people, too. It's funny because some of the hotels out here in the Midwest do that to some extent, but not – they have pitchers, and the pitchers constantly are empty. We don't have the heat that you all have out in California, although I do still laugh that it was warmer here than it was there, you know, the week
we've gone. The weather we had was 100% typical for May in California. That was absolutely typical. But these new water – a couple of years ago, we would have had the pitchers you're talking about. They would have been empty. This is a new thing. When I went somewhere yesterday to view a spot for an upcoming event, they had those same things, but that's a new way of going about it. And I'm guessing the reason they're not empty is because they hold so much more that they don't require the same level of attendance, you know, meaning they don't need to be attended to. So I'm just like... It used to be there was a protocol with coffee dispensers, and those change over time, and the little things that go underneath them to pick up spills. So I think it's a technology issue, and the technology is making that easier. That's collaboration, too. Yeah,
exactly. As people experience it and say, oh, yes, this will work. No, that's not working anymore. And, hey, let's go try this. So it's cool. Yeah, I said even like the time working with other authors, you know, for me sitting at the table, it was, you know, getting to meet people and say, how does this work when I had the time? And have you been here before? And what can you tell me? What am I supposed to, what should I go see? What should I go hear? A lot of it was, you know, based on, well, depending upon what your interests are. And I said, I don't know what they are. I haven't been here. This is a new world to me. So it's kind of cool just having those kinds of discussions as well. We tried to, you know, we're trying to introduce people to the world of Omni, the Academy of the Omnisophical Arts and Sciences. You know, that was the goal. And at the same time, trying to introduce, I think, that world into the fantasy fiction world. So it's kind of coming back and forth. We were trying to fit into their world and them trying to fit in our, you know, connect into ours. So it was cool to just have those discussions too and find the interest and the common ground.
Well, and I love that they've got all these people, presumably with different areas of expertise. You talked about, you know, trying to do your show. It's a lot for one person to do because it's not just that you do it and then it goes out there. There are all these variables, you know, involved in getting it to successfully go out on the podcast waves. But the thing, for example, with the convention, it isn't one person in charge of checking people in and getting them to their rooms, and then there are all these different kinds of people you need to deal with, so there need to be little subcommittees. For example, you've got the guests coming to the convention, you've got the panelists who need to be dealt with, who need to, you know, run the panels. You've got what's called the vendors, you know, the people who are selling their wares in the that sort of space. You know, so there are all these different kinds of activities involved that just by themselves would be an entire thing, you know? And so the collaboration between those running those committees or sub activities, you know, must be incredible for everyone to be in sync. And you have to know that, you know, even just the programming people who handle the panelists, I know it's obvious, but they have to know what rooms are available, how many they accommodate. And given their panelists, they've got to make sure that their panelists can get from one space to the other, that they're not overbooking them, and that, you know, if they're going to be needed on a panel, then is that okay based on their personal schedule? Or, for example, are they going to be doing a reading later that could conflict with it? So there are all these different aspects to it, and just, you know, how many different kinds of people do you need running these different parts that all need to collaborate together to ensure a seamless experience for those participating.
And you've been involved in a lot of these kind of projects in the past, haven't you? I mean, for your own events.
Yeah, my own events are a lot easier because my whole thing that I do is I've always favored intimate experiences that we've talked about before. When I had a theater company, I tried to keep it under 30 guests because we wanted to be part of the audience, not be up on a stage away from them. I don't like to do things that I have to use a microphone. But we did do some of the shows for 300 people, you know, because people asked. But as far as these convention type things, when I was in my early to mid-20s, I ended up being asked, it's a bizarre series of events, but I ended up running the command center at an event at UCLA, University of California in Los Angeles, that had 1,500 students coming for the weekend, which means they needed to sleep in rooms and have meals and transportation and all that. And then we had nearly as many volunteers. I think there were 1,200 volunteers dealing with everything from waving people in with the parking, holding those little things and the cones and all that, to, you know, entertainment, to, you know, box lunches and meals. So, and then it went pretty well. And then when there was another kind of similar event the next year up or a couple of years thereafter, up at another university, Stanford University in Northern California, the people running that had heard about my involvement with that first one and, you know, got me to come up there and run their command center. And that's the heart of everything, because every complaint or issue or activity all runs through you. You're at the, where all roads lead to the command center. So I saw it from that perspective. And then doing my own events, I've done, you know, like I said, I tend to favor small events, but then we've taken a couple trips with a meetup group. And so that means you're in charge of people's, you know, maybe not their flights, depending on how they're getting there, but our trip involved train travel as part of the experience once they arrived. So I was in charge of everyone's train travel, their hotels, their meals if they were provided, or making sure if they weren't provided, they had options as to what to do. Any entertainment that was built in, whether it's going to a show or just giving them suggestions on places to go shopping and ways to fill their time if they didn't want to do the officially included activity. And, you know, there's just a lot to it. And then knowing that people often bite off more than they can chew, they think they're going to want to do everything, but once they get there, they tire out and need to cancel. And there's a lot that's involved with that. So, you know, I've never by myself spearheaded an entire convention, but, you know, that's going to change. Oh, and it won't be by myself. It'll be collaborative. But, you know, nobody can do this stuff on their own. But, you know, it usually starts with one person, and then they find other people who are interested and have the same vision. And from there, you just get to take advantage of everyone's great ideas. Look at most sitcoms. Most sitcoms are not written by one person. They usually have a writing group. And they talk about the writer's room because people's jokes feed off each other, and it's a lot for one person to do. But when you've got this collaborative group, they feed off of each other to create something much better than they could do on their own.
Right. I think that's the big, well, for me, I think when I collaborate on projects, there's two big things that come out of them. And one is, yes, other people's ideas. And two, that typically the communication across the board is better, because sometimes if we've been doing things for many years, whatever, we know the routine and sometimes can forget about some of the beginning or the simple things. And somebody that might be coming in with some fresh ideas or new ideas might just be the one that says, but how does this work? And brings us back to, oh, yeah, not everybody may know that, because we are bringing in newbies, or we're bringing in people that maybe even haven't been to an event for a few years, whether it's ours or anyone else's. Sometimes you forget the simple things of, well, now, am I able to bring food into a workshop? Or am I able to, where do we order out? Do people hang out in the bar? Or do we have our own little event, you know, side event? Some of those things, you know, every event is a little bit different. And I think that, like I said, the two big things that come out for me when I've done things in those events is that communication gaps get filled, and that new ideas are brought forth.
And I like what you said about newbies. The thing that we just went to, I'd never been to such a thing, and anything they would tell me went right over my head because I'd never heard those words before. For example, when I heard the term dealer's room, which referred to the space that vendors were in, my only experiences with the dealer's room have been through nonprofit activities that involved a casino experience. And for me, the dealer's room had to do with people gambling to benefit charity. So originally when people told me that term, I had no idea what they were talking about. And later I realized, oh, this is the vendor marketplace. But that terminology was different. When they referred to guests to me, I thought that meant the people attending the convention. Nope, that referred to the people running panels. So, you know, I was behind the eight ball from the get-go and had no idea what anybody was talking about, let alone what it meant. But that was only because of stuff that everybody else took for granted, because it's their cultural, you know, their lingo. It's part of their culture. They probably just thought, you know, I was an airhead because I didn't know what they were talking about. So I think that's a very good thing about newbies.
Yeah. So I had a question in my head and just lost it. So what was, you know, for your booth and everything that you've done with Omni, as not everything, excuse me, a lot of what you're doing with Omni as far as your characters and stuff. We talked about this a little bit when you were on the show, but now I think it's had even a bigger impact. So you've had a lot of people collaborating with the creation of this world as well. Did you ever imagine it was going to become what it is becoming now? With all these people involved? Okay.
Yep. Well, I shouldn't say yes. I've told you before, whereas most people assumed that when I started writing, I wanted to become like J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter. And I always tell people, no. I would be way more interested in becoming like Walt Disney. I'm not saying that huge, you know, I don't care either way. But the idea that he started out as an animator and he had a vision that he let other people into so that it could become something much greater than he ever would have thought of on his own, and that it had a natural evolution. So when the idea of this academy first presented, it was just part of a kid's story. I don't mean a young adult novel. I mean a story about a kid, although, you know, it's for adults. But when the idea came for the academy to have this base of the elements, you know, fire, air, earth, water, all that stuff, that was the moment that I knew there was a lot more to it. And because of my experience having run a little digital magazine that you had mentioned earlier today on Facebook, because this is its 5-year anniversary of the first issue. Because of that, I had already enjoyed the fruits of collaboration by inviting people to contribute to that. So that was already kind of my the thing that satisfied and fulfilled me the most was helping other people shine. And I don't usually do stuff with the idea of how will I benefit from it. It's how can I shine a light on people just starting out, or people that are maybe have been at it for years and years but never really got promoted. So immediately my thought went to how can we capitalize on this little academy to benefit others and let them share their creativity and talents. But I didn't know how that would come out.
I think most of the projects that you and I have been involved in have been somewhat a collaboration on either side. We met originally with an online organization that needed more than one person.
Yeah, they've got an active Facebook. Yeah. Yeah.
And if one person was just posting on there, it wouldn't be what it is right now.
Right.
You went and did your magazine, like you said, magazines in general need other people and other ideas. Okay, so what do you want to write about? Let's see if we can get a common theme. And it was funny when people did come up with, yes, you know, this or that. You know, three people said I could write about this, and it ended up being and themes. And sometimes we were across the board on you. You had to figure out what, you know, what you want to do based on that, or what you could hone us in as writers. And then I went to, and then my magazine or online magazine, well, for what it is too, with the True Visions Media and the Positive News, Positive News Media, under the heading of the True Visions, that's where that came from, and I do a lot with posting other people's positive things. And when it comes up to Positive News Month in July, I look for other writers to help create and write some of those stories so that we're not just sharing other people's projects out there. And then now we have, Omni and That World and all that's out there. I mean, we've probably had some other ones in between there. But I think of that, and, it's been very interesting learning about that experience, from you that's had more experience in it, and even from, myself, and finding out what do I want to give up to accept some other ideas, and what do I say, no, this is my idea, and this part of it's not changing. So
right.
I think that's all part of the collaboration, too.
I am beta reading a novella right now. For those who don't know what a beta reader is, you read very early on to let the writer know if you think their plot works or not, any gaping holes you see, any huge questions you have, that sort of thing. And it's hugely beneficial to the writer who doesn't have, especially a writer who's self-publishing. And in this day and age, publishing houses appreciate projects that come in having gone through that process before they reach the publishing house, because that saves the publishing house from a whole lot of work and staff that in days gone by, would be involved. But even though it seems like it's a collaborative, well, it depends on how you look at it. It ends up being a collaborative effort because, for example, I've got a lot of questions about the protagonist in this novella. I have not yet been able to get a handle on the person's personality. And so I'm going to meet with the gal to discuss it, because I thought he was going to be a hard-boiled detective, and it turns out he might be kind of he might be extremely gracious and have impeccable manners and be completely different. So, I recommended that we hang out and chew it over together. So she was very open to that. And I said that, she may want to come with some physicality and descriptions that back up with whatever way she wants. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how she goes, because it's her book. So it doesn't matter if I think it might be more effective this way or that, because the final story is hers. And she knows what she wants from it, especially because it's going to be a seven book series. So she's got to be really happy with how the character gets fleshed out, as opposed to fleshed out, because we know fleshed out is something very different, but how he gets fleshed out, because she's going to be stuck with him for probably 7 years, working on him consistently.
Right.
So this is a be something that she loves. If you're not loving where you're going with something, it's really hard to get excited about working on it. So this has been a wonderful experience doing the beta read. I've had a few beta readers, and generally I get 2 comments out of them. The most I've ever gotten was about 6 after a 130,000 word book. So this gal is getting about 6 per page. I've already given her well over 500 comments, and she's lapping them up because she knows I will write, oh, wow, good point, or ha, 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 I really like the way you worded that, or, oh, that was really sweet. I give her my actual real-time reactions as I'm reading. It's taken me forever, but I'm doing it because it's a golden rule type of thing. I would have killed for someone to do this for me. My first novel in my fantasy series, no one beta read. I take it back. One girl did. But she's really sweet, and she just kind of said, yay, I loved it. I'm like, well, thanks. You know? But it didn't help me flesh it out. And I've had to do it through later iterations, which is a bad way to go about it, very bad way to go. So it's just as well that I haven't, you know, didn't really announce it till this last convention, because future iterations were not where they needed to be. So with the part 2 of that, I ended up with 4 beta readers. Not one of them only gave me, as I said, 2 comments. And both comments, it turns out, were based on her going through it so quickly that she wasn't paying attention. But that's still the impression she was left with, so I did make changes accordingly. But, you know, I thought that she couldn't stand the book because I only heard these 2 weird things. No, it turns out she liked it. She just never bothered to tell me. That's, as I said, why I'm making a concerted effort and spending a lot of time telling this person every single response I have, good, bad, or ugly. I tell them when I smile, I said, I smiled at that comment. Oh, no, I'm worried about this character now. I tell them everything because that will help this author in more ways than I could ever foresee. So that's, even though it's not a collaborative thing, it's still her baby, that collaboration as far as giving her my feedback will make a huge difference in the final product.
Wow. And I think you're doing, I know the beta reader concept, it's not super new, but it's still relatively new. Like you said, because I think there's a lot more that are doing self-publishing versus the bigger publishing houses that read through things or scan them for certain words or certain style and know whether they want, you know, what they want to do with books versus the self-publishers now that need to market and need to get an idea of what their audience is thinking of particular books and particular directions that they're going with the books so that they can then market it appropriately.
Right. And I know that another beta reader this gal has said that they thought a certain part was really slow and bogged down. Well, it turns out that's a part I loved because I thought it was detailed because it's a mystery novel. I wanted to know everything that was going on to really get a firm grasp on the particulars of the case. So what this, now, I don't know if these people maybe aren't mystery readers, or, you know, that could factor into it because, for example, if they prefer romance novels, they may not have liked all that technical detail about the case. I have been involved in mysteries in various aspects for, you know, since college. So I tend to appreciate that level of thought and care and detail that was included.
Okay. So the thing is there too, again, there's varying opinions that then have to get hashed out and back to what is the original goal of an event or a project or whatever to then figure out, you know, what you want to use, what you want. In the 12-step groups, it's, you know, take what you want and or take what you need or take what you want and leave the rest go. And I think that happens in a collaboration too. And I think those of us that are on the side of giving the feedback need to realize that it needs to be that person's project, and you know what we suggest isn't the end all be all, and it just has to be given as a suggestion, And then on the other side, you know, sometimes people really have some good ideas and maybe it just needs to be considered. So,
and of course, it's all in the presentation. If I would say to her, this part's awful, do you think she'd really respond well to that? But if I say, I really enjoyed how you explained this and really let me into this person's inner thoughts, and I'd love to hear more of that. That's different than saying this was too short. You know, it's completely different. One is extremely positive, nurturing, supportive. The other is just a slam that puts the brakes on the process. So, for example, for those who are into writing or know or reading, there's the whole idea of there are different points of view. Each character has their own point of view, and the writer has to decide how many of those points of view they want included. And so, for example, there are some very dear scenes, this person included, that get us into the head of this dishy guy. But at the same time, he's a suspect. I'm like, if you want him to be a suspect, we can't have his point of view, because if we do have his point of view, we will have access to his inner thoughts and motivations, and we'll know whether he's guilty or not. So you're going to have to choose. If you want us to think of him as a suspect, get rid of his point of view, knowing that when you get rid of his point of view, we won't get some of those really sweet little tender moments that you mentioned about what he was thinking in relation to a romantic situation. So that's the kind of feedback that, yes, it's collaborative, but the final decision fall to the person in charge of the project. So when I mentioned the writer's room in sitcom writing, I don't know how it works at all, but I would think that someone is the head writer and someone will have the final say, because you can't have all chiefs. You know, with all of those incredibly talented hunters and gatherers and all that, someone still has to be the chief and make the final decision, unless they do it by majority vote. But even then, there's a final say. It's just arrived at either by democracy or by letting the leader make the final decision. So with some of these things, when there's a chairman of a project such as the convention that we just went to, the chairman's the final say. And if they're smart, they take into account all of the feedback and opinions, I hate the word opinions, suggestions and great ideas on behalf of their subordinates, being the people who are in charge of the specific aspects. But they will be the final word, because somebody has to be, especially they will have a different perspective. Theirs will be looking at the the thing as a whole. And so you want to come up with a cohesive whole. And often that person is in charge of making sure that everything feeds into the purpose of the project, and that there isn't one aspect that derails the proceedings or goes off half-cocked or in a different direction, because there is an overarching theme, purpose, motive, and character to any given project. And the person in charge is in, you know, it falls to them to make sure that the final product does support those goals and aspirations.
I want to invite anybody else that might be listening and have some comments on collaboration to give us a call at 347-205-9074. I forgot our own phone number. 347-205-9074. I looked at the clock and it was funny because it said how much I had left the show, and it was 1:11:11, and it caught me off guard for a second. As we talk, you know, time portals and things that have come into my life with the science fiction world this week. So it's just kind of a funny. So I apologize for being derailed there, folks. I think that's, we can look at a lot of different things that, simple things in life. If we look at it as collaboration, like parenting, education, I think a lot more things in our lives are collaborative than we even recognize. We think of big events like conferences, like, sporting events. We think of all those kinds of things as being collaborative. But I think we have to step back in our lives and realize that there are a lot more things than we think and a lot more things that we expect that become collaborative. as we're growing up, as we're existing. Our work projects are collaborative to some extent, especially if you're involved in assembly lines or building of things. Like I said, education is, sometimes it's a give and take between an instructor and a student, depending upon the ages. It includes parenting a lot of times as to how best to educate a child that someone's, you know, had around the house for 3, 4, 5 years and then is sending off to school, and how that child learns. And then sometimes the teacher has to come in with some new ideas and say, well, yes, you've had your child here, but you know what? Industry says sometimes we can do this with this experience, and have you thought of it? You know, these kinds of things that people don't think of are all collaborations, even if it's just two people.
Yep, good point.
So, anyway, I think, you know, I don't have too much more to say on this subject particularly. I think we've pretty much gone through it. You know, I'll bring it back into the purpose of our lives too. A lot of times, you know, we might have the idea, the perfect idea of who and what we're going to be in a particular situation, whether we're going to be in a big event where we're going to chair it, or we're just going to sit in the background and be the person that directs traffic, or we're going to be an attendee, or otherwise in our life, we're picking a career or school, or sometimes even what we're going to wear for the day. Some of those things can be, it can be that simple, where we collaborate and look at other people and say, you know, okay, I'm going to work, I'm going to a job interview, I'm going for a date, help. Again, some of those things help us live the purpose and be fulfill the purpose of the moment with the collaboration. So I invite people to, you know, kind of think of that, think of some of the benefits of collaborating on ideas and how that all does fit into your life and your purpose. I think I need to come up with an affirmation to leave everybody and invite you to come to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. See, I'm away in a different culture for a week and I forget my own words. I came back home and thought I was in a different world. So, I don't know, Jordan, you have a suggested affirmation that you might be thinking of over here, or
I recognize and appreciate that no man is an island.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. So we will put that in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat that will be pinned to the top of that group. And I invite people to share this link, continue the conversation over in that this chat room. If you're on Facebook, come join us. And with all that fun stuff. So any parting words you'd like to share?
Oh, I'm looking forward to a whole lot of collaborations in the next few years. I have usually worked on my own or had a staff, so this is really fun to get to be part of a team. And I've got a whole bunch of team activities that I know I'm looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to hearing how your listeners and the guests that you feature share the various ways that they have worked with their fellow man to make this world a better place.
Cool. Thank you. I don't know if you have anything that you're looking for people on. I know myself, like I said, Purpose Positive News Month is coming up. I am looking for some folks to collaborate on creating and finding some positive news stories to share. We'll be talking a little bit more about that as that month comes in, but I'd love to hear from you. And you can just send it to the Purpose Talk Radio email, which is cindy@purposetalkradio.com. cindy@purposetalkradio.com. I always look for guests and topics, and you can send me an email there as well, because I do run out of them after 5 years of doing this and come up with other ones and say, hey, I don't know what to do today. So I appreciate your input, Joy, as well as other folks that might be listening that have some ideas of what they'd like to hear on the show. So any things that you want to share that you have are going to be looking for people, or is that going to be a little bit out yet? I know you're looking for people
to
read the book.
We are going to be hosting something called OmniCon in 2 Julys from now in 2020. And it's going to be a confluence that celebrates, the arts and creativity, all based on the elements. And so we will be looking for people to get involved no matter where they live. It's going to be in Southern California. The first year's theme, we'll have a theme every year. Since it is going to be by the water, the first year's theme, because it's the first year, is, wait for it, testing the waters. And I'm looking at getting people, for example, from the Surf Rider Foundation. People can look that up if they're curious about that, to, be one the guest speaker and get the local aquarium, the Aquarium of the Pacific, which is a major attraction, get them as sponsors, bottled water companies, you name it. So we will be having a collaboration of artists, musicians, authors, crafters, that sort of thing, coming together to collaborate, to show off their wares, educate people in a fun way, through illumination and edification, and have a wonderful weekend a couple of Julys from now. And so we're looking for people for the initial steering committee. And I have a feeling that will come up more than once in the next 2 years on this show.
Yeah, I get a feeling it will too. So, all right, very good. I appreciate you joining me in this conversation, as always. And folks, again, Tuckery is brought to you on Fridays, 9 Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. We talk about living your purpose. Again, email here. Joy, I'm sorry, what email do you want people to contact you, or just contact us through the show and I'll send it to you?
Oh, we have a new email for the event that we just discussed for OmniCon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. First of all, Omni, for those who don't know, means all. So it's getting to the good stuff, Omni meaning all the good stuff in life. That is OmniCon, OmniConQ. Long story there. OmniConQ@gmail.com.
Perfect. Okay. They can send that off to you.
Thank you.
And so, let's see. And the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. The vocalist on it is Jillian Clark. The writers are Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. So we'll be coming up in July on Positive News Month also. And join us on Facebook at Purpose Talk Radio and Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. You can find me also on Twitter and Facebook as Cindy Freeman, or write it for you in several cases. Love to hear from you. And until next week, I wish you all soul blessings, and I thank you for listening. Have a great week.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.